This past weekend, Sunday evening, we had a beautiful view of the eclipse of the moon. Many call this a blood moon because of the color of it. I didn't research and give you a list of names of preachers that have used this moon in their messages or in their books as they were talking about this event and giving warnings of a major event to take place around it. As we look back at Sunday night, it was a beautiful evening. At our house, the sky was unbelievably clear. The stars were amazingly brilliant, and we got just an amazing view of that moon. With all the hype around it, I expected it to be bigger. But
I have a powerful set of binoculars, and it was really a moon.
Right.
Yeah,
well, it was an amazing eclipse. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in the prairies and really loved seeing what we call the harvest moon. So maybe I had visions of this big red harvest moon. But it was amazing to see the eclipse of the moon, to see the full moon and see it lose its reflection of the sun's light. And but as we look back to Sunday night, nothing major out of the ordinary took place. And so in my judgment, many of these preachers took what is the normal rotation of the earth, sun, and moon and have used this for personal gain. Many books were sold. And we look at the skies, when we look at the skies, we need to be pointed to our Creator and not to be pointed to a man who is interpreting what they see in the sky. Jesus is coming again, but we don't know when. False teachers will try to say they know when Jesus is coming. They will draw attention to themselves instead of to Christ. So Jude is warning the believers of false teachers. Just going to do a quick review of what we looked at last week in verses 1 to 10. We looked at the fact that Jude is writing as a servant of Jesus Christ. He's greeting the believers who are called, beloved, and kept for Jesus Christ. So Jude was a chosen servant of Christ and glad to be in the service of Jesus Christ, writing to these fellow believers to contend for the faith in Jesus Christ. The faith, meaning all that is right and true about the one true God. Contend for the faith in Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who died to bear the wrath of God in the place of all who would repent of sin and believe in Jesus. This morning in Sunday school, we talked a bit about the way and how in Acts they were called the followers of the way. And then Jude is calling us to contend for the way. Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jude said that he would have loved to have written to them to remind them of the great gospel of Christ, but needed to warn them of these false teachers who had come in among them unnoticed. And they came, they perverted the truth, and they changed the truth to please their own desires, do what they wanted to do, what they wanted, and they approved of sin. So they perverted the truth. They denied our Master. They denied the authority that God had. And then Jude reminded us of three Old Testament judgments of Israel when they came out of Egypt, how they did not believe God and go into the promised land as he promised. and the judgment that God brought on them. He reminded us of the angels who left their proper authority and the punishment that God had for them. And he reminded us of Sodom and Gomorrah and their wickedness and their rebellion and the judgment that God had on them. These false teachers did not rely on God's word, but on their dreams, their own authority. They are condemned by what God has revealed to all men. God's authority and the fact that all are without excuse. So that's where we ended up at the end of verse 10. And I'll read verses starting at verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Jude, verse 11. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain, to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are blemishes on your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, looking after themselves, waterless clouds, swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of outer darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud mouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last times, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." So in the first section, Jude gave us three reminders from the Old Testament, some judgments, and now he's going to give us three Old Testament illustrations. And he starts out verse 11 by saying, "Woe to them." And the New Living Translation puts it this way: "What sorrow awaits them." Revelation 8, verse 13 says, "Woe, woe, woe," when it's warning of the calamity to come. A sorrowful warning, a woe to the false teachers of what is to come. Jude then gives us three illustrations from the Old Testament, from Old Testament events relating to the false teachers among them. The first one is the way of Cain. And we find this in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 to 12. It says, "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. and other fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." So Cain and Abel both brought an offering to God. God had regard for Abel's offering, but no regard for Cain's. Hebrews 11, verse 4 says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." And 1 John 3, verse 12 says, "We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous." In Genesis 4, verse 5, Cain was angry as his offering was not accepted. He was not blessed by God. Even with the rebuke and instruction of God, Cain ignored God and planned and fulfilled the sin he wanted to do. That is the way of Cain. Ignore God, live in sin, and this is the way of the false teachers. The second Old Testament illustration he uses is about Balaam. And it says, "And abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error." And we find this in Numbers chapters 22 to 24, and also talks about it in chapter 31, verse 16. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 to 16 says, "They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgressions. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness." Balaam, a prophet of God, and Balaam, who was a prophet of God, was approached by the king of Moab, who wanted him to curse God's people. And Balaam loved the gain of Moab more than he loved obeying God. This is like the false teachers who came in amongst the believers. They loved gain more than obeying God. And there again, we see the fact that God sent even a donkey to try and get the attention of Balaam. He did get Balaam's attention. But that is another illustration that Jude uses to remind the people of the false prophets that have come amongst them, false teachers. The third one is Korah's rebellion. And it says that they have and perished in Korah's rebellion. And looking back to the Old Testament, where it's recorded, Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, it says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with a number of people of Israel, 250 chiefs of the congregation, chosen from the assembly, well-known men. They assembled themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far. For all in this, for all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? When Moses heard it, he fell on his face, and he said to Korah and all his company, in the morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. So Korah led 250 men against the authority of Moses and Aaron. And by this, they were also against the authority of God. In verses 31 and verse 32, it says, and as soon as he had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all their goods. So Korah and these men rebelled against the authority that God had set up in Moses and Aaron, rebelled against God, and received God's punishment. Korah and his men also led others astray, as did the false teachers. God's judgment is also on these false teachers. So from these Old Testament examples, Jude now moves into the dangers of these false teachers. In verses 12 and 13, talking about the dangers and also going into some description of these false teachers. Verse 12, it says, these are blemishes on your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, looking after themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. The first description talks about them being blemishes on your love feasts. And some of your translations probably don't use the word blemishes. Some probably say spots. Others use even the words hidden reefs. And I believe that's the description that it's looking for. And it's interesting, those words seem quite different. Talking about spots or blemishes on your love feasts or hidden reefs. And so we're going to approach this with that in mind, that Jude here is talking about the fact that these false teachers are hidden reefs. And when we think about a hidden reef, for those of you that have been fishing on Eagle Lake, if you've been out to the Bible camp or on a boat in Vermilion Bay, you'll probably notice that there are white, maybe bleach jugs on steel rods or maybe floating in the water. Those are put there to mark hidden reefs or rocks that are in the water. And I don't know Wabagoon Lake, but there's probably markers out there as well, marking things that are hidden underneath the surface. And they're marking danger underneath. And what might be calm waters are actually dangerous waters with reefs with the potential to cause great harm. So these false teachers who have come in unnoticed are dangerous to what should be a safe gathering. And they're not looking to promote love but deception, as they are part of the love feasts. And so blemishes, spots, a hidden reef would cause a great amount of damage, put a big blemish onto your, if you're using the illustration of a boat. So that is what these false teachers are like. And it's talking about their love feasts. And What greater love feast do we have than to participate in the Lord's Supper? Jude is probably also referring to the fact that they would meet together, to eat together, and to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And that is what we are preparing to do together as well. And so these false teachers would come in unnoticed, feasting together with them without fear. These false teachers came in, denied God's authority, perverted the truth, denied, defiled the flesh with their sin, and they came in among the believers without fear. This should not be. Unbelieving false teachers should not be at peace among God's people, especially as we celebrate our Lord's death and resurrection for our sin. The next description that he gives is shepherds feeding themselves. And this short phrase seems to really get my attention. I'm not a shepherd, don't necessarily like sheep, don't necessarily like working with animals. But this illustration that Jude uses seems to really, really hit home. When you think of the role of a shepherd, and Peter could describe this a lot better than me, but the focus and the work of the shepherd is to look after the sheep. His main work when he is out there with the sheep is not to look after himself. And here these false teachers are described as shepherds feeding themselves. And Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 3 says, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, all shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep?'" Shepherds are to look after the sheep first. We know a true shepherd if they look after their sheep first before themselves. John 10, verses 10 and 11 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd," Jesus speaking. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The true shepherd cares for his sheep and is ready to lay down his life for the sheep." And I think as we look, I think this is a very, very relevant thing for us today as we look around us, as we look at the different things that are being done in the name of Christ, the different works, the different organizations, the different preachers, teachers that are out there, and just evaluate some of those things that are taking place in the light of what God is saying here, that even in the Old Testament, warning the Israelites, warning the shepherds there, and Jesus talking about himself being the good shepherd, and just evaluating what is the reason that people are doing what they're doing. Is it for themselves, or is it for the blessing of the people they're serving? Is it to bring glory to God, or is it to feed themselves? These false teachers were feeding themselves and not the people they should have been there to serve. Waterless clouds is the next illustration that Jude uses. Proverbs 24, verse 14 says, "Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give." And if we were in a drought and we saw clouds coming over, we want to see those clouds give us something. We want those clouds to come and drop some water on us. We don't want to see them nice, beautiful, fluffy clouds just go floating by. And Jude describes these false teachers like that. Promising gifts, but not giving them. Useless, and actually worse than useless, dangerous. The next one is illustration is swept along by winds. Anything that is moved by the wind here and there is not secure. It is not firm. Jesus gives the illustration in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. These false teachers were not firm in their false ways, but changing. Influenced by those around them, possibly. Influenced by what they thought brought the most benefit to them, possibly. Or instead of what brought glory to God and to his kingdom. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 says, "Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them." Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. If a fruit tree has no fruit in autumn, what good is it? It's a useless tree. It needs to bear its fruit in season. Matthew 7, verses 15 to 17 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." And Matthew 15, verse 13 says, "He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up.'" These false teachers are recognized by their fruit. They will be uprooted and receive the second death, as is referred to in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 15. "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." A very severe warning for the false teachers of the wrath of God to come for their wickedness. Moving on to verse 13, another illustration that he gives. Wild waves of the sea. It says, "Wild waves of the sea, casting up the foam of their own shame." These false teachers are not ashamed of their works. The results of their actions are plain to see, as the waves of the sea brings foam to the shore. It doesn't appear that they are concerned about the results of their shameful actions. And I didn't write down the passage, but I believe there's another verse in Proverbs that talks about how the action of the sea brings up the mud, which also relates to these false teachers and the effects of their actions. Wandering stars is the next illustration that Jude uses. Wandering stars, just two words. It says, "Wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever." And stars have been used for navigation And they wouldn't do me a whole lot of good. I could find the North Star, and that's a pretty good point, actually, to be able to use, because stars are stationary in the sky. When I go to Africa, the North Star is in a very different kind of location, but it's in a stationary place. And so stars can be used for navigation. Here, Jude says wandering stars. So if a star is wandering in the sky, it's of no use for navigation. And it's believed that these wandering stars were probably planets. The Greek word behind wander, planeo, is where we get the English word planet. I looked that up in a book from a commentary Pastor Adam gave to me about Jude. But it's interesting the fact that and that makes sense in the sense that because stars are stationary. But we know that planets move in the sky. And nowadays, we actually have other things with lights that move in the sky that are not for us to use for guidance, navigation. We have all kinds of aircraft and satellites. And I believe some satellites are more stationary, others are moving. But here in Jude, he's probably referring to the fact that they could see the planets, and they could see that the planets moved across the sky. These false teachers were like these planets and not useful for knowing the right way to go, but instead were leading people to danger. The end of that section, he talks about their reward for their actions, their final end and their reward. Jude uses two illustrations of eternal punishment in his book. One in verse 7, where he talked about eternal fire, and here in verse 13, where he talks about utter darkness that has been reserved forever. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 to 46. As he compares the punishment of the wicked to the gift of eternal life to the righteous. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then you also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is a sobering thought. How God will be glorified by the eternal punishment of the wicked and also glorified by the eternal life given to the righteous. And righteous only because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have next would be getting into the section on the prophecy of Enoch, and then also Jude also reviews again some of the things that have taken place. But I think what we'll do is that we'll maybe leave that for Jude number 3 if we have opportunity at another time. So as we look back at what Jude has gone through with us as he is warning the beloved of the false teachers that have come among them, We want to look again at some applications that we can have for ourselves today. We've talked about just some of the things for us to be aware of as we look around us at those who would call themselves teachers, those who would call themselves pastors and preachers, and as we look at the reason for what they're doing as we evaluate, are they shepherds who are feeding themselves, or are they shepherds who are seeking to feed the sheep with the true word of God? Also, as we have been reminded of their love feasts that they were participating in, and as we prepare this morning to partake together of the Lord's Supper, a great love feast. This is an amazing love feast that we have, but it's only a love feast for those who are in Christ. So encourage us this morning to examine yourself, to examine ourselves. If you are in Christ, can you rejoice in his great salvation that he has given to you? Do you know your sins are forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Has God granted you the gift of repentance and faith in Christ? Examine yourself and repent and trust Christ today. One other thing, as we look back at some of the section that we've covered, the false teachers were like the Israelites, who instead of believing God and going into the promised land, they grumbled, they complained, and they disobeyed God. And as we look back and look into our own lives, encourage us to examine ourselves. Are we grumbling? Are we complaining? Are we looking back at things that have happened in the past? Or are we looking ahead of what God has for us? Are we trusting him that he is the sovereign Lord of all and that he will use even the hard things, maybe even the things in our own lives where others have sinned against us, that God is able to use even those things to feed us, to help us, to build us up in our faith. So encourage us to trust God, to work all things out, to forgive others, and to show mercy. Encourage us this morning to put our hope in God. He is able to keep you until the return of Christ. And just in closing, I'd like to read the doxology that is at the end of that chapter. Verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the sovereign Lord of all. And we, as your children, desire to worship you in truth. We desire to be obedient to you, your command, to love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We desire to know the truth, teach the truth, believe the truth, and share that in love with those around us. And we thank you for the encouragement of Jude to contend for the faith, to be on our guard for those who would come in to teach false doctrine. And we just thank you for your Holy Spirit who is dwelling in us as your children to help us to do that. And we just thank you for your work in our lives to bring us to repentance of our sin and faith in Christ. And we just pray for anyone here this morning that cannot say that that is true for them. I just pray for your work in their life today. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, pray that you would be glorified. And we just thank you for this reminder. In Jesus' name, amen.